What is the exceeding greatness of his power worth to him unless he can exercise it in me? That's what he says the Holy Spirit has come to do. We have, I think, a beautiful illustration in these missiles that have gone to Mars. And men that have circled the earth in these rocket ships. It's something inexplicable how here on earth they have instruments by which they can feel the pulse of these astronauts. They can figure out their blood pressure, their temperature. Just think. You might be up in Mars today if you could get that far. And whatever you say is recorded here on Earth. And your very pulse, if it goes a little faster, a little slower, they can record it here on Earth. There's a constant communication between Mars and the Earth. The Holy Spirit is that current. Is that direct line that unites me to Jesus Christ and unites him to me. He knows what my blood pressure is. He knows what my pulse is. And he has a way of making his words record in my heart, speak to me, to subdue all things unto himself. What a mystery. It teaches me the immediate presence of Jesus. The immediate, not only his presence, but his absolute authority. And that's why he says, eye hath not seen, and ear hath not heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has provided for us and shown unto us by his Spirit. Only that Holy Ghost communicates to me these unsearchable riches of Christ. And that's why Jesus says, without me you can do nothing. You don't have to even try. You can't. You can't. Behold, I sent the promise of my Father upon you, and that's how I take charge of you. That's how I give you power to pray according to the will of God. That's how I cause the kingdom of God to be exercised and carried out within your heart. Not I, but Christ has become a glorious and wonderful reality when I really have agreed that it shall not be I. Not I. Oh, how it teaches us the great lesson of humility. I am meek and lowly in heart. And that's why the Father came to reside in the Son of God, and he was able to say, the Son can do nothing of himself. The Father hath not left me alone. The Son can do nothing, but whatsoever he seeth the Father do. And there was that sight that kept Jesus Christ united to the Father, so that everything he did, the Father did in him. Everything you do, Jesus Christ does in you. Everything you say is inspired by Jesus Christ himself, immediately and personally and perfectly. That's the thing that Jesus Christ wanted to teach his disciples. He says, now I can't teach you. I can't get on the inside of you. I can't get hold of your hearts. I cannot renew your mind and transform it. I cannot give you my mind now. But when he, the Comforter, is come, he shall take of mine and communicate it to you. Pour it into you. Pour my life into you. Pour my thoughts into you. My feelings, my attitudes, my kingdom, the unsearchable riches of Christ, which he purchased for us, are for us, and it takes the Holy Ghost to communicate them to me. Oh, how that teaches me the mystery of humility, of absolute lowliness of mind. I know nothing by myself, Paul said. Nothing. Don't have to. The things that I knew by myself were carnal, were earthly. Now, praise God, He knows in me. It is strange that all along the way God has had men and women that learned that lesson. Terstegen speaks of it. He says, within me strive and pray, lest I should choose mine own wild way. He says, dein in mir denken, beten, kämpfen, lass mich auf keine Weise dämpfen. Ich will mich zu deinen Füßen setzen wie ein kleines, unwissendes Kindlein. Wisse du allein in mir. Oh, Jesus, how close you've come to me. How near you have come to me. That doesn't even express it. We say, draw me nearer. Why don't we quit saying that? I need thee. Why don't we say, I want you, and then open up and let him come in like a mighty stream of life, a stream of fire that consumes all of myself and makes Jesus Christ to be where I used to be. That's the ministry of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. I can't talk to you now. I can't tell you now. I've come to cast fire upon this earth. And that's the fire. Beloved, the Comforter has come. What do we do with Him? Well, today, thank God, He's doing something with us. What a strange meeting is this. What a strange meeting. That's how we started on Seneca Avenue, even on Patchen Avenue. At first, I couldn't quite understand because God would silence everybody. And sometimes half hour, sometimes longer. And I said, Jesus, what are you doing? Ah, I tell you, Jesus Christ did things that no university professor could have done in a million years. No Pentecostal preacher could have done in a million years. He got right on the inside. He made hearts conscious of the authority of Christ. He made hearts come down in utter humility and lowliness of mind. We don't know what humility is until we find that place at the feet of Jesus. Until we discover that He is. And we are not. And then I found out what wonders God wrought. Like Terstegen says, oh brethren, in these silent hours, God's miracles are wrought. He giveth His beloved in sleep a treasure all unsought. I discovered that in these silent hours, God set His wisdom into the hearts of His ministers. I've seen that happen many times. Didn't come through the brains. It came through a far better gadget, the heart. Oh, this wonderful shrine where no earthly light lights up the place and no earthly voice is heard, but hear this silent voice of Jesus Christ engraves upon the heart the life-giving words of the Spirit of God. Nobody knows anything about that except those that have experienced it. And in those days, people experienced it. I marvel at the church that Jesus Christ gathered. For instance, Mr. Shilley. He got so desirous of meeting us, he didn't know what our mission was. He started out one night, he said to his wife, I'm going to find that church that Brother Messmer belongs to. He talked to me about it. And so he started out and he went down and then he thought, oh my, I don't even know where it is. And suddenly he was right in front of Seneca Avenue. It was on a Saturday night after street meeting. And so with a trembling heart, he climbed the stairs and he pulled that door open quietly. And what did he find? The altar filled with people silently praying. And there was something in that silence that gripped him. He felt something. He said, I never saw anybody pray like that. There wasn't a sound to be heard, but there was something to be felt. God was in that place. There was a clear connection with the throne of heaven. Jesus Christ was moving among these people that were praying. And a wonderful thing happened that night. One of the brethren saw him coming in, went to him, put his arm around him, said, come pray. Oh, he got frightened. He said, oh, no, not tonight. And down he bolted down the stairs and down to Myrtle Avenue. And when he came to Myrtle and Madison Street, he stopped. And he said, something strange happened. A light came from heaven, and like a mantle of light, it just surrounded him, just wrapped around. He didn't know what it was. He stood there in great silence. But when it came to, he was a new creature. I tell you, in these silent hours, God's miracles are wrong. What fools we are when we don't really believe that God is, that the Holy Ghost is, and that we are not. It's our privilege to come away down. Very few people do. But Mr. Shelley came home to his wife. He didn't know how to explain to her what had happened. I think this was Saturday night. Monday night, he came to the prayer meeting on Seneca Avenue and knelt over there in the corner. And he began to talk. I thought he was going daffy. I went to him and tried to help him get straightened out, but he really had a conversation with Jesus. Jesus was talking to him. Jesus showed him a vision of his crucifixion. Jesus Christ had done all that without human agency, you might say, just by the Holy Ghost. Beloved, we're here this morning to learn from Jesus Christ that we don't know anything, and that we cannot know anything, and we don't have to know anything. The world today is after knowledge. The Christian church is after knowledge. They've been deceived by the serpent. They've left the tree of life and they've gone to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because they're going to be somebody. Beloved, that poison works more subtly than we know in us. Jesus says, I've got this against you, church filled with gifts and powers. You've left your first love. That first love that doesn't want to know anything but Jesus, doesn't want to be anywhere but in his embrace, doesn't want to feel anything but his loving fire. Oh, his eyes like blazing flames of fire, they detect. You've left the fountain. Beloved, the Holy Ghost has come. The Comforter has come. And still he is looking for hearts that are perfect toward him, that he might manifest the exceeding greatness of not your power, his power, not your authority, but his authority. And when Jesus Christ reigns within you, he'll reign through you and by you. We ought to go over these chapters very, very carefully and very prayerfully. We ought to let Jesus Christ give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There is such a spirit. It's his spirit. Think of it. Think of it. None of the princes of this world knew it. And who are the princes of this world? Why, they're the great professors and educators. They're the great men. They have a great name, honor to whom honor is due. And God says, God made the wisdom of man to be foolishness. He made foolish the wisdom of man, and he capsuled the wisdom of God in that crucified Lamb of God, bleeding himself to death, emptying himself, and now begging you and me to let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who humbled himself, who came down. Now he had something to step down from. You and I don't, except to step down from the throne upon which we have tried to be somebody. But oh, the Holy Ghost has come. Oh, how happy we ought to be. How glad we ought to be. He will guide you. I'm so thankful. I said to Mrs. Robinson one day, discussing my ministry, I said, I don't seem to be able to minister any other way but in a Pentecostal way. I tell you why, because today, after 50 years in the ministry, I know less than I did at the beginning. I really do. I often say to Jesus when I come to meeting, Lord, it's really funny. I don't know nothing. Jesus Christ knows in me, and whatever I have done in these 40 years, he has done without asking my permission. And without asking counsel of me, he does it automatically. And it's wonderful. Perfectly marvelous. Again and again, I've gotten people sore. In Germany, Switzerland, here. All the time I hear that. Brother Fan was telling me a funny story in China one time, how perfect stranger had walked into the place and the Lord named him by his name over my lips. And one time, I said such funny things, but God does it somehow. I said, what's the matter with you? You're sitting there in a dump. Did you swallow a sewing machine? Who in the world would ever think of such a thing? But there was a woman there that was in a dump because she had been dishonest in purchasing a sewing machine. She had somehow cheated her husband out of the money or something. And it was so heavily on her conscience that she couldn't enjoy the meeting until she heard about the sewing machine. Well, that cured her. Beloved, he shall guide you. He shall guide you if you're not like a horse or like a mule. He shall guide you with, oh, what a privilege. What a privilege to be always contacted with Jesus Christ and to know Jesus. I know he doesn't want us to say, oh, the Spirit did this and that. Jesus did it. Glory to God. Jesus Christ, you remember when Khrushchev was on the throne, he had a direct line with Washington. And Kennedy could say, Khrushi, how's the weather over there? Oh, how's in Washington? Direct line. I feel the current moving on the line. Glory to God. Don't you?